So last week, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, declared a genocide is actually occurring. ISIS is responsible for genocide that covers the Yazidis, the Christians, and the Shia communities in Iraq and Syria. Today, we're speaking with Christian Aid Mission, C. Van Valkenburg, to find out a little bit more about what this declaration means, especially because it doesn't seem like there's a strictly prescribed action that takes place when you actually declare a genocide. So, Steve, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
You know, when we heard about this designation, for a lot of people who've been following the situation, the response was, yeah, we already knew that. Now what? What are we going to do with this? And the things that we were being told was that the governments involved, whatever governments are involved with looking at this scenario, are hesitant to declare a declaration of genocide because it might mean actionable kind of information. As we've understood it, the U.S.'s response to this, it might free up aid, it might smooth things along for the passage of asylum seekers. On the ground, though, for what you guys are doing with people you support, what does a genocide declaration mean?
Well, obviously, they've known there's been genocide, and they're just being confirmed by one more country. In terms of on the ground, I think that many of the displaced people and refugees are sort of jaded, and that in their perspective, we've known this, everybody around us knows this, but nobody's really paying attention to us. And I think that what needs to happen from this is on two different levels. One would be like the governments and UN, that kind of level, and the other level would be in terms of Christians. I think in terms of Christians, it's how do we best help the displaced people and refugees, and that's basically what we've been doing for the last 5 years, in providing help for them, resources so they can survive day to day. I think that there's another step that needs to be taken, in that in the past they've been receiving a lot of handouts. But many of the people are not going to immigrate anyplace. They're going to stay where they are. I mean, sure, there may be at most another 5%, 10% that may be able to immigrate to another country. But mostly going to stay there. And I think then they need to face, I think we as Christians need to face the realization that if they're going to stay there, we need to do what we can to help them to be able to get settled there. And the Christians need to be in the forefront, helping people to be able to get jobs, to have education for kids, and enable these people to somehow settle down and begin to live normal lives. And that if they're not going anyplace, which most of them aren't, they're not going back to their home areas, they're going to be there. We need to figure out how do we help them in the long run. And so, we cannot always be, for years and years, providing just handouts for people. But I guess the vision of Christians is how can the Christians help the people to remain there and to be able to set up normal lives and to show the love of Christ to the people there in that way. So there's a lot that needs to be done to help the people. I heard last week about a number of men just committing suicide. They just say everything is so hopeless. And I get reports all the time of children dying. And, you know, there's no medication for them, and they're dying young. People are dying from things that normally would not be any big deal. But it's really sad to see people atrophy away and just die away. And the world basically looks upon them and we watch, we see what happens, but somehow we need to be able to help those people. And I think showing the love of Christ to those people is to help them to be able to gain a normalcy in their lives and not always be waiting on handouts, because those handouts are going to keep on dwindling away. And but through it all, as the ministries that we assist are are doing these things. There are many who are believing in Christ and many being helped, and there's great joy in a lot of their lives because they're finding hope for the first time. So my encouragement for Christians is to say, how can we possibly help these people in their condition? Sure, there has been genocide. There will be genocide in the future. But how do we help these people in terms of the ones who've been affected by it? And these are ways that we can help. We can help them in very concrete ways and begin to help them to live a normal life and to give them hope for their future, and that they can see that there is a life beyond and not just waiting day to day for another handout.
There's not a lot more that I could ask you on this topic because you've covered pretty much everything I was thinking about. So I guess the last question is, how can we be praying? You've already suggested ways that we can be hands and feet, that we can get actively involved. But how can we be praying specifically?
I think, like I said before, I think that there's a role for governments and UN. There's also a role for Christians. And what we're involved with is something, it's a spiritual kingdom. And I believe that there's two different ways. One is that Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Question is, how do you love ISIS? How do you love these enemies? One thing is to get the gospel to them. And the gospel is going to them, obviously through the internet, through media. The gospel is getting out, and they have many ways of hearing the gospel. There are Christians that we know of are living among the ISIS people. And we need to pray for those Christians that know how to be safe and how to share the gospel with those people. Romans 5:8 talks about how while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And that's why he showed love. Well, what does it mean for us as Christians to show love, to give ourselves for these enemies? And I'm not sure I know what the answer is, but we are to love our enemies. We're to pray for those who are persecuting us. And I think that one level is to pray for the ISIS people. When Stephen was being stoned, he said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And it's true, these people do not know what they're doing. And I think that we should be shocked to think that here are people who want to wipe out the body of Christ. I mean, this is Christ's body on earth, the God-man, the creator of the universe, and his body's on earth, and here are people wanting to destroy that body. I mean, it's a shocking, amazing type of a perspective that they have. But we need to pray for those ISIS people. And I think in terms of the displaced people and refugees, we need to pray for the new believers, that they would continually find encouragement in Christ and that they would be able to live normal lives. I think we need to continue to pray for the unbelievers, that they'll come know Christ, because ultimately their hope is in something beyond just what they're experiencing right now, because right now it's pretty miserable. But we can pray for them, and I think that we need to pray that they'll be coming to know Jesus Christ and believing in him. I think that the whole declaration of genocide is a call for Christians to pray and to ask, how do we show love for ISIS? How do we show love for the refugees and displaced people, both the believers and the unbelievers? And there's a mountain of work to do there, just as we pray for those people and their needs.
Again, we've been speaking with Steve Van Valkenburg from Christian Aid, just talking a little bit about what a designation of genocide actually means to people on the ground, and how we can be, as the body of Christ, responding better, taking a strong stance on some strong words. If you want to know more about what the ministry is doing on the ground, you can check that through their website. It's christianaid.org. That's christianaid.org. Steve, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Thanks for having us.